Ask the roll call, please.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is the time and place publicly noticed for the Infill Incentive District Design Review Committee. Our meeting today is held on the third floor of Planning and Development Services at 201 North Stone Avenue. The meeting is held in the large conference room. Roll call today, Mr. Chair.
Present.
Bill Viner.
Present.
Robin Schombach. Absent. Vice Chair Burr.
Present.
Kathleen Erickson. Absent. Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is approval of a legal action report, May 23rd, 2019, out of the study session for this project.
Motion to approve is presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion approves 3-0.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, item IID-18-08, Hilton Dual Brand Hotel, 141 North Stone, T19SA00104, and DP190018. And first on the agenda is a project presentation by your applicant. I'd like you to come up, introduce yourself, and any members of your team that will be presenting as well.
I won't need that.
You don't need it?
So I just wanted to introduce myself. One, my name is Greg Fay. I'm with Faith Hospitality. I'm the owner of the company. Apologies for missing the study session. My oldest daughter was getting married in Philadelphia, so I decided that probably I needed to attend that, so I was up there doing that. But certainly downloaded with the team after that meeting, and, you know, just a couple of things. One, you know, excited to be here in Tucson. I've been working with Jerry Hawkins now for, year and a half, working on this project. You know, everything about the project that the thesis that we started with when we first met with Mark Irvin, who is here, and Fletcher, about, you know, the need for hotel rooms in downtown and the demand for hotel rooms and the economic drivers that make a hotel, a vibrant part of the addition to downtown, all of those things still stand today for us. Maybe even a little bit more excited about the project. I think this will be a great addition to downtown. I mean, you know, we think of, you know, at least, you know, 150 to 350 people a day being added to the downtown community, you know, new people that are visiting, you know, the local shops, the local entertainment venues, the local restaurants. We think that makes, you know, this project and its vicinity to the convention center and the downtown entertainment district just perfect for us. You know, we were very lucky that this site came on the market when it did, when we were looking to do this. So I think all of those things, stand today. Certainly as we've gone through this process, we think we've made the project better and better as it's made its way through the processes that have been established for us to get to this place. And hopefully today, you know, you guys agree with us that we've made the strides that we need to for you guys to give us the approval to build this and make this a fantastic addition to this site and to Tucson and the downtown community. So with that, I want to turn it over to Kevin, and they're going to get through all the good stuff. But I just wanted to tell you guys, one, thanks for your time, and we look forward to successfully concluding this meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. My name is Kevin Hall with Cypress Civil Development. We are the official applicant for the project. We're the authors of the IID document. But also wanted to let everybody know our team here too is Cedar Frank Architects. Michael DeMardo is the project architect who's been working many, many hours on this project. Jerry Hawkins is Greg had mentioned, and we have Norris Design. Amy Webb here is from Norris Design. They're doing landscape architecture for the project. So that really culminates our team. I won't get into a lot of detail. I know you all have seen this project. You know where it is. You know what it looks like. Just to give a brief overview, we're filling up the half block here just west of the Scottish Rite. Our main access to the hotel is the Porte Cochere is on the north end off of Ochoa, and we have parking garage access off of Stone on the west side. Obviously that's the main side of the building that's really the prominent side of the building. Currently, we're in second review of the development package. We're expected to get that review done here in the next week or so. I checked comments this morning. We're still waiting on zoning and engineering, but we are getting closer to approval of that package. And we also have the IPP in review as well. We're asking for relief parking through that process, in addition to the 25% reduction we're allowed through the IED. I was going to touch on the IED modifications, but they're already listed in the agenda that you have in front of you. So they're basically the standard modifications you see on most of the downtown projects. With that, I'll turn it over to Mike DeMarto with Siebert Franks to talk about the building.
Thank you, Kevin.
Can I control the slides on this?
I think you can. If not, you can use the mouse or two with the wheel.
So just to recap a little more, I know most of you have seen the project.
Mike, would you introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry. Michael DeMarto, the Siebert Franks Architects.
Thank you.
Just to recap a little about the project, it's a dual-brand Hilton Hotel, both Hampton Inn and Home 2 Suites, for a total of 199 guest rooms. And to recap where we are today, and where we've been following the city process. We've had meetings with the neighborhood, with the historic commission, a couple meetings with the design professional, Corky, and we received his initial review letter and second revised review letter. And then 2 weeks ago we had the DRC study session. So that brings us here today. We're hopeful that that what we have today is a culmination of all of the response to all of the design review comments we've received, and hopefully to reach a satisfactory decision by you guys. So this is the locator map of the hotel on the site, just to orient everybody with the properties around us. And there are a total of five historic contributing properties surrounding us on all four sides. So certainly it gives us a context of where we sit in the neighborhood. And site plan. Does this have a folder? Yeah, it does. Okay. So the site plan, I really want to emphasize, this has been a long, hard process. A lot of thought has gone into the site design. And I know there's been some varying opinions on maybe where accesses should be. But just let you know, none of our decisions were made lightly on this. What we've determined in just looking at the entire neighborhood is that with the activation of the pedestrian corridor that's been activated along Ochoa and more so by the Cathedral Square, we really felt that was the logical location for the front of the hotel, the main entrance to the hotel lobby, the main access point for guests to arrive. So we positioned that with our drop-off overhang on the Ochoa side street. Looking at the Corral Street to the south, that's the street that we knew we really had to stay completely off of for several reasons. It's a narrow one-way street. It's got residential on the south side. And we knew that we had to really omit any real traffic impact there or driveways to the garage. So the only logical solution at that point for garage access is off of Stone Avenue, and that's the most traveled street on Stone or on the property. So that's our vehicle circulation map, and you'll see more as we get into. We have the garage plan, so you can see the logic inside the building. Maybe what's most noticeable in this layout is that we feel like we've responded better to Corky's comments that well received, that, you know, we needed to respond better to the symmetry and the iconicness of the cathedral across stone and facing our west facade. So we've taken some more drastic steps. We've pushed the wall of that portion of the garage another 10 feet into the building. We've eliminated four parking stalls in the garage and created a much larger plaza and much deeper. It's now 35 feet deep by 60 feet wide. You'll see in the renderings and other plans a little closer what that detail looks like. But we feel like that's been a pretty strong response to that. We've also improved on the shade and the pedestrian experience on that side, because the plaza has that continuous, you can see it here, but you'll see it later, this continuous planter that follows the curved back wall, and a planter seat along the entire thing. And then there's a substantial shade trellis that goes over the top of all of that. And because we've pushed further into the building, we're able to build a larger shade structure. So it's pretty substantial. This is just this site section that gives a little bit on the scale and massing of the building in relation to our neighbors. And on the upper one, the neighbors to the north and the south, we have, being a podium building, we have this band at 30 feet. And that was a natural divider for our building, which is a podium with a tower above. So we chose that to be the break point at street level or at the upper street level to kind of work with the neighboring scale of the buildings that are two-story to the north and south. We also have, and you'll see later, more of our break at mid-level at around 15 feet. We have the porte-cochere, we have several overhangs, we have shade canopies, we have the shade trellises, all at that level to break the verticality of that lower portion into more of a street level scale. This is probably a new slide to everyone. This shows the actual floor plan inside the building, so you can understand a little better the garage layout and the hotel layout. So we have, to the north end of the building, we have the hotel lobby and front entrance, breakfast area, some back of house, and then these are the two retail pads on the west side that face stone. And then the rest of the lower portion is parking structure. This is the ramp to the upper structure. This is the driveway that accesses the ground level parking. And then you can see a little better the plaza area and what that shade ramada shade structure looks like. Let's see. The next level, this just shows you more of the circulation of the parking garage. We have further ramps, ramps up to a landing and then ramps up again. You can see the shade trellis below. And then the third level of the parking structure, which ramps up again and ends at this fourth landing. And then the hotel on the second floor over here, where we have meeting rooms, fitness, and some guest rooms and back house. So that kind of gives you a better logic of how the hotel's been laid out and why the openings were where they are on the exterior. And then this is the third level, which just shows you the pool patio deck and also the logic of our guest room layout, which is really true for floors 3 through 6. So on the northwest rendering, a couple things to note here. We still have, you know, the curtain wall glazing on the first two levels of the hotel here, the lower being the porte-cochere and the front entrance to the hotel, breakfast areas over here. And then on the west side, retail space here and another retail space here, with canopies and shade trees. And then on the second level, of course, there's some guest rooms above. There's a fitness area there. And then as you go back, you'll see that this is the new plaza area. The alcove, you'll get a better view of that, but it's a fairly deep alcove and shade structure. Also to note, enlarged cornices on all the prominent facades of the building. That was a comment received, so we revised the design and have an enlarged cornice, and then when it steps back, we have secondary cornices. Also, comments that we noted, adding some massing. We've enlarged the columns at the front entry here somewhat, and then at the same time, we've added some columns that'll match those that are at the shade structure. And lastly, on this view, the vertical fins, there was a suggestion to possibly bring them down to the ground level. This one had terminated at the canopy, and that was a little bit awkward compared to the one at the south. The problem, we couldn't bring it to the ground level because it created a 4-foot obstruction in the sidewalk. So we felt it was better to bring it up to podium level, let them both be matched, and it seems like a better solution. On the southeast elevation, again, you could see the alcove, the plaza area. Our parking structures, which are the only ones that have the perforated open screens to help with the mechanical ventilation. And then they somewhat frame that alcove and that space. And then on the south facade, we've, as you can see, and most people already know this, that we've chose to enclose the parking structure. So instead of naturally venting it with a lot of openings and gaping holes, we chose to enclose it and mechanically vent it to give a better privacy and less distraction to the neighbors next door, lighting and noise. What we have done here, now originally we did add the planters, the vines, and trellises at the lower level. We broke it with a shade louver at halfway up the wall to kind of break the scale of that. And then what we have added are the shade louvers across the windows on all the upper windows to the south. There's 32 of them, I believe. And in that we're hope is to respond to the comment of potential glare to the neighbors to the south, on the south side of Cross Street. On the southeast, again, you can see the south elevation, the louvers, the trellises. And then when you go to the east elevation, we still have the modulation. We've modulated the walls of the structure. And then also we've added the patterning to match the patterning of the windows and the color variation. What we've also done here, and you might also see it, it's evident on the neighborhood context photo, is we're undergrounding all the power on this side. Right now it's a hodgepodge of overhead lines that's all going to go away and go underground. From a pole that TEP puts up around here in the Scottish Rite property, and it goes all the way across Stone to the other side of Stone. It's all going to be undergrounded. Oops. This is a bird's eye view, a little better view of the plaza area. And you can see a little more clearly the substance of that shade ramada. It's going to provide a pretty tremendous amount of shade. It's about 57 feet by 12 feet in dimension, so it's a pretty substantial amount. And then the plaza area, we chose to match similar concrete pattern and coloring as the Cathedral Square across the street. And then again, the cornices that have been revised on the prominent facades. This is more of a street view of that plaza area, and you can see the extensive planter that runs along the back wall. And the curving of the back wall, the alcove, we really felt like it softened up that place and made it a little more pleasing. But certainly there's a lot of seating. There's like over 80 feet of seating on that wall and a lot of opportunity for landscaping. These are just the elevations of the same and more or less just reinforcing what we've modified on the renderings, north elevation. The west elevation, as you can see in orthographic, what the changes look like, the south elevation, and the east elevation of the property. The one exception is this alcove went away. That was an electrical alcove that's now buried inside the building. And these are the neighborhood context. I should pull up the slide. Neighborhood context photos you've seen before, but some of you. The rendering isn't exactly the latest in this view, but the photos are actual photos of the neighborhood. The building is, the model is embedded into the photos to give you a better feel of what it really looks like on the neighborhood. This is going south on Stone. This one is, if you're traveling north on Stone, the cathedral on your left. And this is at the southwest, at the corner, southeast, I'm sorry, corner of Scott and Corral with Scottish Rite. On the right, they're parking there, and then the building. And then here again, this pole, I believe it's going to be in a slightly different spot, but this is kind of what it looks like without power lines, and it's been photoshopped out. This is the color palette and material palette. What has changed here
is we did respond to another one of Corky's comments that was to incorporate some colors that are more traditional and present on site in the neighboring properties. So we modified some colors in this palette. And then this is the landscape palette of the project, and this includes both the street trees, street level, the new plaza area, and as well as the upper patio planter deck, pool deck. Basically, that's our presentation.
Thank you. I have other questions after we go through staff requests.
Okay.
This is our professional report.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the preliminary staff remarks.
Thank you, Chair Gans, members of the committee. We began working with the applicants in late November of 2018. We held a couple of preliminary pre-applications where we kind of reviewed the project, what modifications they may or may not need. And early on, we noticed the massing of the site. It is C3, which is one of our heavier zones within downtown. And it's allowed through the infill incentive district to have a massing out to this site. So right off the bat, we kind of let them know that we knew that was an allowed use, but perhaps that might be a challenge along the southern edge. We've found that the applicants have been responsive to our requests, and we've been working with them to meet certain deadlines and to get on the hearings for Historic Plans Review Subcommittee. The first meeting that we had with the Historic Plans Review Subcommittee was a little challenging, probably because the meeting was in a new location, for one. And two, the commission or the committee didn't necessarily feel that the design responded correctly to the historic character and elements of the adjoining sites and the cathedral property. So there was quite a bit of discussion about how the southern portion of the property was going to be addressed. There was discussion on how the pedestrian kind of realm would be, what kind of materials might be used along that first and second floor, specifically along Corral. And Nick, if I could ask you to go back to maybe the first image. So after that, the first hearing was continued, and they gave the applicant a list of items to go back and kind of reconsider, which they did. And there were, I believe there were 9 different items that they addressed. During the second hearing, which was about 2.5 weeks later, almost 2 weeks exactly, we went through each one of those items. The applicant presented how they'd made the modifications, what they felt they'd address the items, and ultimately the commission did give them a denial on that. After that point, I would say city staff wanted to meet with them again and see how we could help them get through the process. So we met with Corky again. Corky's looked at this project 4 times, I believe, now. And
this will be the 5th
time. Okay, thank you. And they came back to us with some modifications. I'd say over time they've been willing to work with city staff on making the modifications, but they still have some requirements that they have to meet for the dual brand kind of spacing on the interiors, interior rooms. With that, that's where we are today. The items that we see, they addressed the 9 items that were recommended at the study session previously. And if you'd like, I can go through those items and read them aloud, or...
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The request to be part of the record.
Thank you. I'm going to read these from the May 23rd, 2019 study session item. It'll be on page 3 of 4 of the legal action report. Item A is the additional shading needed to be provided. I believe this was discussed on the southern half with the new eyebrows that were added to the windows. There appears to be new shade trees that have been added and perhaps larger box sizes along that area. And then item B, architectural interest details on all sides of the building needed to be added. Your group previously, along with Corky, gave them suggestions on the cornice and some different items on shade boxes, specifically on the southern edge. They appear to have responded to that in a way that they felt was appropriate for the design. The park, Pocket Park, I would say, has been substantially upgraded. It's more than twice than what we originally saw. It has some additional space and seating that was not previously as there. The other item associated with that is they're showing the table in the right-of-way. And in speaking with the Department of Transportation today, they are open to having a table there in the right-of-way. And that would be something that the diocese would be able to use if they were to close the right-of-way for any events. So that's those are definite positive changes moving forward. Cathedral Cemetery needs to be reinforced. I'm a land use planner, not an architect, so I'll ask Corky to address that a little bit more when it comes to the his section. I do see from the image, I believe that's the second one, would you mind going? There does appear to be an obvious change from what we've seen in the last two meetings, which is appreciated. Item E is the visual connectivity between the project and the cathedral, which needs to be provided. This is kind of a subjective item, which I'll ask the design professionals and the design review committee to give your opinion on that. There appears to be some movement towards that momentum towards that area. I do believe that there are people here in the audience that would like to speak during call to the audience, if you'd like to hear that. Maybe an opportunity to discuss that further. Item F, landscape treatment needed on east elevation. Yes, they appear to have met that. They also have their landscape architect here today, and it may be helpful for the DRC to ask questions on the types of plantings that were going to be used in that area. We do have materials shown this time, which is definitely an improvement from the last meeting. G, project needs to provide a stronger case for reduced parking, considering its location in the downtown core. As they're located in the downtown core, frequently through individual parking plans that the infill incentive district and the department director have given traffic parking modifications. It's all kind of based on the use in the area. It does seem appropriate considering its location and near within 150 linear feet of the streetcar line. There's also bus routes in this area.
May I ask a point of clarification?
Yes.
I understand that IPP is a separate process. I'm familiar with the figures. What specifically are we addressing in parking reduction, and where is our purview today? Because they have made some additions in the revised plan for perhaps a further reduction outside of the IPP process. So I don't quite know how to formally comment on our purview.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in general, we try to run these projects all in alignment with the request for modification, so the IID and the individual parking plan. With this one, we're running them a little bit differently. However, the ultimate approval letter is kind of at the decision by the department director. And so ultimately, he has oversight on whether the parking modification should be allowed. As a body of recommendation, you are more than able to make a comment on that. And if you find it that it's appropriate, then it's your choice.
Thank you.
Any other questions on item H? Okay, moving on. Item I, bike lanes need to be clearly shown. I did have a clarification on this one from the Department of Transportation. I'm sorry?
I skipped H.
Okay, I circled it. Excuse me. Can you clarify? H? H is not a pedestrian-oriented development, automobile-oriented design on north and west elevations. I believe that is your purview to decide. Moving back to I, bike lanes need to be clearly shown. According to the Department of Transportation, you're right, this is a bike and pedestrian kind of location, and we should be looking closely at where they would be interacting with the driveways on the site. I did have clarification from the director this morning on that item.
And my question extended to the TRE if it impacted it any for the pocket park.
Could I comment?
Let's keep going on with the report.
So the bike lane is shown in the right-of-way currently within the street cross-section.
Correct.
Yes. That would be, would could and would be amended on this property if it was requested and approved through the development package process.
Thank you.
Okay. Item J, verticality needs to be emphasized for the full height. Again, I believe that's a design consideration that's on your side of the table. Item K, the proposed building is big, imposing, all stucco, and does not relate to surrounding contributing structures, which are masonry with architectural details. Not clear how project has integrated historic context. Item L, table pedestrian crossing on stone needs to be pursued with TDOT and the diocese. I believe that we're clear with TDOT, and with some clarification from the diocese, we should know if they their approval. And then item M, materials and plant pallets to be provided to the Infill Incentive District Design Review Committee at least a couple of days before the public hearing. They did meet this standard. They actually provided it several days before. Mr. Chair, do you have any other questions of staff?
At this time, we will probably later.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next on the presenters is Corky Poster.
Thank you. Thank you. As Carolyn said earlier, this is my fifth time looking at this. We had two preliminary meetings. I was asked to prepare a formal commentary letter, and then after response to that, I was asked to comment on the response, and I did that with interspersing additional commentary in that. I've looked at this now for just a couple of days, and I had had a few comments. First, let me say that my role as a design professional is always a little bit awkward, because I perceive my job as trying to make the project better. And I've done my best to do that, and I think you've done your best to respond to my comments. But I also go back to my first letter, where I was troubled by the decision to access from Stone, and not really access from Stone once, but rather two distinctly separate garages that don't connect to each other, which requires two in and out connections to the building. So let me take the responses that you've done and comment on those, and then let me come back to that other larger question. I think you've done a really, really good effort at trying to be responsive to the symmetry of the cathedral, to making that that park plaza area substantially larger, more interesting, more of the scale of the cathedral itself. In terms, it was much smaller and compact and off-center. You've made it symmetrical relative. Can you go back to the?
Sure.
Let me just point some of those.
Yeah.
As you recall, this plaza was smaller and it came all the way over here, which was asymmetrical relative to the cathedral. So by pulling that back and making that an approximate size, I think that's substantially better than it was. I appreciate the extra effort to reinforce that pedestrian table, and I'm delighted to hear that TDOT would be responsible to that. As we talked about before, there's almost no traffic on Stone Avenue, and so making that a pedestrian-centric location seems like like a really good idea. So that's number one. Number two is I had some small comments about the cornice. I showed you some images of some of the cornices of the buildings around. And I think you just sort of hit that right. I don't think it should have been flamboyant big cornice, but rather just a little bit bigger and a little bit more responsive to that. And the third thing you did is you added those eyebrows, those shades on the south, which from an environmental point of view makes a lot of sense, from a glare point of view makes sense, and also from a more visual interest on that elevation makes more sense. Having said all that, I'm still troubled by the non-pedestrian character of Stone Avenue. And I don't have any more good suggestions about how to fix that. You've got a sidewalk with not much to see for the whole south two-thirds of it, interrupted by two potentially busy in-and-out ramps for the garage at the grade level and the one that kind of spirals up from that. And that really goes to item H that Carolyn talked about, not pedestrian-oriented development, automobile-oriented design on north and west elevations. And honestly, aside from a kind of substantial reconfiguration of the garage, and when I say that, I mean, you know, the notion that the garage is here and the hotel is there, it's kind of the only way I could imagine to solve it, and easy for me to say because I don't have to get cars up a ramp and do all that. But my job isn't really to solve that problem, but to suggest that having done all the things, and this is the awkward part, having done all the things that I've asked to do, looking at the result, I don't feel like we're quite there. But I'll leave. I'm an informing party. I'm not a deciding party. So I will leave that as input into the design review committee and have them pursue it from there. But I have to say that you worked really hard to respond to all my comments, and I just feel like having done that together, we still don't have a project that is as good as it could be.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to open up to the DRC for questions at this time. Comments.
So, Corky, you commented favorably on all issues that you brought up, except for the pedestrian issue. So is that your overriding concern? Because I don't want to speak for you, but you addressed, one by one, you said they addressed all your other comments. So the one they didn't address adequately, which would require an entire change of the whole building, was the automobile versus pedestrian access.
Yeah, and the sort of the pedestrian quality of the Stone Avenue frontage as it faces a very busy religious civic facility immediately to the west of it, with lots of people, especially with the new parish facility, diocese facility. There's just a lot going on there. One can make suggestions in hopes that the building gets better, and I did, and it did. But I don't know if we're, I mean, it's up to you to decide if we're there yet. It goes back to a kind of a fundamental decision about how to get into the building. And the double problem of, instead of having one parking entry, there are two. So you've kind of doubled down on that problem.
One of the things I see when I particularly look at this view is, I have similar concerns. I agree that you have responded to a lot of Corky's questions and suggestions, and but one of the big things about the AID for me is not only transit-oriented development, it's pedestrian-oriented development. And to have the area where across from the cathedral, which is surrounded on three sides with access to into and out of the garage in stone, to me, it is quite disruptive. And I just look at this view, and I look, and then you go to the north, and you've got more cars and more pedestrians engaging, and I find that it conflicts with what I think IID's intent is in terms of creating a viable, safe, pedestrian-oriented experience on the streets and also allow for vehicles. And so that's, I commented on that in the study session, and that's still a concern I have as well.
Can the applicant comment on why the building was specifically designed with the two entrances at its current location?
Yes.
I would love to. Can you hold for a second? Hold that thought.
So we talk about the orientation of the building, and I think that was one of the things that we early on, maybe I got it wrong, but very specifically, the idea was to activate a choa, not stone. That was the direction we received, and that's the direction why we put the lobby on the choa, because the cathedral was doing the same thing, making that pedestrian corridor between Scott and Church, to really make that the pedestrian corridor. So if we move our vehicle entrance to a choa, we cut off that pedestrian nature of a choa. So that was the direction we received very early on in the process. That's why that building is designed the way it is, was because we wanted all of the activity on a choa to match the activity that the cathedral was trying to create on a choa as well. And we think that by having all of the pedestrian activity, all of the lobby, that's where people are walking in and out of our hotel. The cars are coming in and out, to me, on the right street, which is Stone. Stone is the vehicular street. That's when guests leave the building and they have to get in their car, which we don't think there's going to be that many of them, they're going to leave on Stone, which is the right way. If they come out on a choa, they're going to go to one street, Stone or Scott. Scott is a pedestrian area as well. So again, that was the direction we were given very early on in the process to do that. The reason why we have two entrances is, I'll leave to him, but was quite frankly to maximize parking in a limited site structure so that we could maximize the amount of parking so that we could provide what we believed was the right number of parking spaces for our size hotel. We actually think we're probably slightly overparked, and we're okay with that. But that's why we designed the building the way we did, because that was what I believe the instructions were to us. So maybe I got it wrong, but that's what I thought we were told, was to maintain the pedestrian corridor, because when we talked to Rio Nuevo as well, was we want to connect the convention center through Ochoa to the downtown entertainment district. And so that's one of the main things that we thought was a primary component of the hotel, and that's why we did what we did. Mark, I don't know if you...
First, I want to hear Mike had some points he'd like to make.
Sure.
Mike?
I could just speak for the parking structure and the geometry of that. One is it would be almost impossible to cut that building longitudinally and tuck the garage at one end, only because there's no way to ramp and get to the next level. You have to be able to loop to climb levels. The other part of that is we have three connections from that parking garage into the hotel. That's functionally, that's programmatically what Hilton requires. And so we had to figure out how to physically divide the building, the hotel, the public areas from the garage. And so it made the most sense to divide it as we did, and that way we could loop the ramping to make it geometrically work. The other part of that is if you were to take one of those driveways out, you're pushing all the ramping inside that garage. That almost makes it virtually impossible, to execute what we have, which is three entrances into the public area, lobby for guests, and bury a ramp inside that garage within the first level. You almost chop the first level off of the parking structure. So I don't know what that would reduce us in parking. Geometrically, it's several dozen, I would imagine, to be able to do that with one access. So by doing two accesses, we're able to maximize the parking inside there. And that's already at a significant reduction that we're asking for. But to get that parking that we needed in order to make the project pencil.
And will both parking facilities serve the same client, or is one going to be drop-off, and is there any difference between the ground-level parking and the upper-level parking from a customer's point of view?
No, no.
So they'll be able to enter either one at any time?
That's correct. So I understand there are concerns about the access points, but as Greg said, there really is no other logical place except Stone and physically to get the project and to get the park installs required this sort of a layout. And there really, I can't see, we studied several layouts, I can't see another layout working physically.
And so when the people drop off at the lobby and want to get back in, they circle the building, go south, come back west into the garage on Stone?
We actually think that realistically, most
the question is to Mike.
I could answer it because I was going to say logically, most people are going to swing right out onto Ocho and turn left on Stone because they see the garage right there. They're going to be directed by the hotel staff. That's how you get to the garage. We're trying to reduce traffic on Scott, so we wouldn't promote them circling the neighborhood. And logically, most of them are going to take the shortest distance, which is to turn left on Ochoa, out of the Port Cachere, turn left on Stone, and then turn into one of the two garages.
I see. So this is confusing me in that it looks like Stone's one way.
No. There might be a car on the wrong way. Side of the road there.
That's a Britain. Oh, I got it. Road right there. That's what confused me. I get it.
A drunk render.
Mike, in your IPP, to reduce your parking requirements, what if you actually need more parking? Do you have any backup? If for some reason you find that you need more than, what is it, 130? You're going to 135?
So we're at 134 now.
Okay.
And we reduced it by 4 since that revision.
Okay.
And Kevin might be better able to answer that. He did the IPP application.
Okay.
But in terms of alternate parking, I'm not sure what the answer is.
We didn't propose or have any dedicated off-site parking anywhere. That's certainly open if that comes up as part of the review. But the total ask as of the time the document was submitted was 23 spaces. Again, the research that was done, not only by Greg and his great background with hotels and properties he's been involved in, Jerry had done studies as well, indicating, and what we know of the AC Marriott, what's going on there, we know that these hotels downtown are not requiring the amount of parking that the code requires. So they're running at 50% occupancies or less. And so, as Greg mentioned, we identified that in the IPP that we feel it's already overparked. So, you know, as a developer and a user of the hotel, he's not going to want to be underparked for his guests and create a problem for him either.
I've got a whole slew of questions. I want a couple points clarified. What are the current widths and the proposed new widths of Ochoa, Corral, and Stone with the new sidewalk improvements?
The widths are not changing. The existing widths are what they will be in the proposed condition. So we're matching the curb lines on all four
sides. Okay, because there's been some questions. Corral currently is at 22 feet. It will be maintained at 22 feet?
It's actually about 20, but that's what it will be.
But there's no movement.
We're not changing that at all. We're matching the existing curb line.
Okay, and I think it's like 32, so you anticipate the turn radius to actually work.
Right, yes.
For the Port Cochere. Question that had come up, would you be amenable to a left turn only sign at the terminus for the Port Cove share, so that traffic was indeed directed back onto Stone instead of to the Scott Avenue project.
I'll defer that one to Greg.
I mean, I think for us to force them on to Stone, if for whatever reason Stone is really busy, to force them into an unrestricted left turn would not seem to be the safest thing to do. If a guest leaving the hotel sees that Stone is, for whatever reason, really busy, and they actually want to make three right turns to get to the garage, it seems like the safest thing to do. So I think that's the best answer, but if that gets us to a yes, I'll put a no right turn sign out there.
It's a question I had because the neighborhood has had concerns about increased traffic onto the Scott Avenue Improvement Project, which is indeed a pedestrian improvement project. The Stone Avenue frontage is, I'd like to provide a little context for the record here. The Stone Avenue Improvement Project was part of what was considered the Five Points Pedestrian Improvement Project. It started in 2001. I've been one of its chairs from Armory Park since 2004. It widened, it put in the raised bumps, it put in all the street lighting. Parts of that project are still complete. The raised tables in the street that are currently there are actually colored, raised, and printed, stamped asphalt. Vince Catalano was the project manager at the time. Because although Stone Avenue is largely a quieter street at this moment, and at the terminus of Broadway, it becomes one way again for a two-block section. As part of the Downtown Links project, the further portions of Stone are indeed slated by TDOT to become two-way street and connect Stone two ways in all directions from 18th Street all the way to River Road. So that is a future condition. That is why we are also very concerned about the bike lanes, because it is a dedicated pedestrian route that I am very concerned and would not favorably look at a reduction of the bike lanes specifically in front of the TRE or other segments as part of the review. I think I probably covered why I feel very strongly about that moving forward. I respectfully request that the portions of both the April 25th and May, whichever it is, plans review meetings are put into the public record for this meeting, because both the contextual comments as well as the actual actions do describe various concerns. It was more explored, for instance, their concerns about the north frontage in the commentary at both meetings than it was specifically on the for the south side, and that is still one of my concerns. The context of this area historically is a little bit problematic. It is a national register property. It is not in the HPZ city of Tucson area, but it has a whole bunch of contributing buildings, and a lot of them are identified on this general plan. But I don't know that it's further understood that the Scottish Rite Cathedral, the portion that you present in your texts are actually a Henry Trost building that was built in 1915, but the northern portion was built in 1950, which is only non-historic because it was added after the Armory Park period of significance cutoff date of 1940. It is a 69-year-old building. Adjacent to it on the same parcel, which is not addressed at all, is the Demolay Hall from 1895/1901. That is a much smaller scale building. You can see a small oval picture of it. It's considered Dutch Colonial Revival at its current iteration. for Mission Revival, but it's another historic building. The diocese building actually was built in 1895 to 1901 and is on the Marist College historic register. It has a contributing structure that was modified in 1960, has our portions of what remains of the bishop's building, and so that building should also be addressed, has contextual since it is across the street from the building. The cathedral is now eligible in and of itself, although it is not part of the Marist National Register Historic District. And the little office building that isn't shown at all to the north was built in 1950 and is only now not historic because of its period of significance. So it is entirely circled now, except the La Placita parking garage and the new development at the Cathedral Square, and the new multifamily three-story residential properties on the site just west of Bring, and the Banovitz house. So the larger context of the whole area is actually very important to everybody looking at this, and that's why I share some of the concerns that were reflected in the Historic Commission. I have asked several times for it to be shown in context to the north facade of the Marist building, which it never has been. There is no streetscape for that. I notice on some of the context sheets that provide background and information that, for instance, the area in Main Gate has absolutely no context whatsoever in terms of zoning overlay or whatever has, what was the word that was used? Context. It's the two maps that are part of the design package. And that some of the buildings actually in the vicinity are not, and that I don't know that it fully addresses it. This is a very unique site that has multi conditions. I very, very much appreciate all of the changes that have happened to date, especially the changes in the fins, the general massing of the proportions on Stone Avenue. The southern and eastern portions look a lot better. As a point of clarification, how deep are the inserts that are indented to represent the blind window facades on both elevations? Are they 4 inches, 1 inch?
Oh, are you referring to the east side and the south?
East side and south side.
The east, those are only a couple inches into the ephus.
A couple of inches.
And it changed color.
Okay.
On the south, it's indented a foot.
On the south, it's indented a foot to add the mid.
In order to get the louvers and the planters and the vines.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate what you've done with Cathedral Square, but I think the Neighborhood Association and members who have participated in the streetscape need to be also consulted in respect to the diocese before a speed table is put forward to ensure bike lanes. The design team has talked about how their conversations with adjoining stakeholders suggested that the Ochoa Street needed to be activated and Stone did not. From my understanding, I assume that is the diocese rather than the stakeholders of the neighborhood, the historic, or perhaps staff, and I think that should be clarified in our understanding of where that direction to the design team came from.
I'm sorry, can you please make that statement again? I didn't catch the first piece.
The design team suggested that they were directed in conversations with task holders to orient the Ochoa Street, and I believe they mentioned the Diocese and Rio Nuevo because of their Ochoa Street project, but not necessarily the actual stakeholders that have been now looking at this project since basically January, beginning with the first neighborhood meeting. I am still not happy with that facade. I do not think that any of the directions that the Historic Commission Plans Review Subcommittee or our commentary about addressing masonry masses and some more context for that historic streetscape have ever been addressed. I am now reasonably okay with the south facade, reasonably okay with the east facade to some degree, although I'm not happy with how it relates to the larger historic district and Armory Park and the Children's Museum specifically, but it's better. I don't know quite how their facade fits in with the openings on the west elevation of the Scottish Rite, but there are a number of them at the ground floor, and that has never even been part of the context of the conversation of the east side that I think really should be addressed, at least by staff, if there is still adequate egress and so on and so forth. I want to make sure that when this building goes in, that monitoring of the historic structures are included in any final motion that's made, so that there is no adverse effects on any of them. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I appreciate the change in the color palette. I think the substitution of, I think it's invisible cream or something like that, to the cooler beige shades in the color palette are better. I also have a concern because all of the latest presentations of the perspective plans show actually different facades than are presented in the elevations, specifically the fenestrations. It shows on the elevations that there's more fenestrations moving into the massing in bulk and kind of orchestrated areas than are presented in the actual perspectives that are supposed to give context, especially the southern storefront and the fitness room above it, where those lines quite fit, and there needs to be some continuity there in any final design. I appreciate the thickening of the massing of the columns over on the north side, but I don't think the fenestration has any sort of relationship with the suggested mullion mutton lines with the above lines, and it, so there, it's now the one facade that has absolutely no kind of symmetry for a better balance of the entire context of the building. I'm not sure at this point if some of these things can be addressed with facts that have to do with the Hilton's design requirements and what we can achieve as a team moving forward. If a possible continuation would be helpful, or if the general feeling of this board is that something else needs to happen here despite what's happened, because it still largely does not meet the pedestrian-oriented design framework of both the Rio Nuevo districts and the downtown core sub-districts of the IID, and largely still doesn't. So I wanted to throw that stuff out for further discussion of this group.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
We do have a gentleman here who has been doing outreach, and he may be able to answer why the building has been orientated that way. That's Mr. Jerry Hawkins.
Okay.
We wanted to question him on why the portico chair is on the northern edge. I can say that in 2013, there was a study done by the Urban Land Institute, partially funded by Rio Nuevo, along with the Peach Group and some other downtown developers. And I believe the cathedral, the diocese was involved to look at that whole kind of right-of-way along this area and the Ochoa cross-section, and it is intended to be pedestrian-focused. And Rio Nuevo did give funding for the right-of-way just north of the cathedral site from Church all the way to Stone to address some of that pedestrian circulation and reinvest in that street. They updated a lot of the utilities there. They're putting in all new sidewalks and asphalt to make it more pedestrian friendly. So I can speak to that, and I understand perhaps Mr. Hawkins can provide more information on why the building is oriented the way it is.
So I think a lot of the direction came from early meetings that we had with a large section of the neighborhood, Rio Nuevo, through Fletcher and Mark and their group, of course, were spending a substantial amount of money along Ochoa between Church and Stone. So was it their direction that they wanted primary activation along Ochoa connecting to Scott? So that led in some direction. Secondarily, the Peach Properties, the owned properties on the north side, clearly wanted us to have the activation there and not have the garage entrance there. They didn't think it was appropriate along Ochoa. In addition, then, along Corral, it was very obvious that none of the owners along Corral wanted us to access parking garage from that area. So it was a tremendous amount of just discussions with the stakeholders in the neighborhoods. And everybody has their, you know, everybody has their separate issues. What we tried to take was a combination of all those issues to try to make the best decision. And then, of course, as Mike said, the site accommodates a certain parking garage, and we're required to have enough parking. So I think it was a combination of events, but more importantly, there was a lot of good listening, we think.
Thank you. Yes. Comment. I understand that Cherry Street pedestrian corridor is a focus of Rio Nuevo, and I understand it in relationship to some of the other projects that have happened downtown with the TCC. But I want to remind everybody and put on the record that the Stone Avenue area in and of itself is its own corridor as well, and that is one reason, for instance, that the IID goes all the way down. Stone Avenue has a connector to revitalize businesses because it's all zone O or C. It connects to a lot of projects that are further south. The 14th Street Cushing Avenue connection is also the most primary east-west connection in the entire area and goes from 3rd Avenue all the way to basically the Cushing Street Bridge and the further extension of the IID on the west side of the freeway. There are all sorts of corridors, streetscape, shopping, mixed-use elements in this whole area, and to focus exclusively on one of them without focusing on the relationship of all of them perhaps is not in the best interest of it.
A couple questions. Mike, on the area that's facing the cathedral, where the pool area, what kind of noise mitigation is in place there that you get a large group of people, you're in a basically an amphitheater? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think Greg, the owner, will probably be better speaking from that, but I can say that the guardrail that we have there, we went around about what that might want to be and chose to go with a frosted glass.
Okay.
That's, you know, creates some privacy, even though it's only 42 inches high, creates some sense of privacy for the guests from street level and street level to the guests. So, you know, I think for the most part, line of sight, even from the cathedral steps, it's probably somewhat subdued, at least visually. And then there's the shade structure that runs the full length of that as well. So it's really not made for any big crowds. There's spread out patio furniture for the pool use. You know, that's primarily the use for that patio, so I wouldn't expect it to be a crowd pleaser kind of a place.
Okay. Thank you.
one more thing. I noticed in our package for today for review is a letter from the diocese. And it has specific questions of alcohol use, their planned closures of Stone Avenue, and how that would impact a garage that required ingress and egress actions and other things. And request that letter goes into the public record for this meeting, and wondering if that team wants to do respond at all to it.
So the record, the notice and letter is absolutely in the public record. We received that, and it's a part of your packet today as well as online.
Okay, and one further thing. I understand that the parking has been further reduced to 134 from the, I believe the IPP is 138, and to make sure that the director knows that the IPP in itself needs to be somewhat modified if we approve a parking reduction as part of our purview. And also as part of, as a participant in that process, it was my understanding that the design team, if they needed to provide additional parking for staff and other elements beyond the area, would be willing to enter in agreements either with parking garages, with shuttle services, or other ways to minimize any impacts to adjacent residential parking if the reduction is indeed granted.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, for those are items that you could add as a possible condition, should you choose.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Can I interrupt for just 1 second?
I'll give you 2 minutes.
We'll take that long. Sure.
Yeah.
I would like to also, we have 4 support letters from the other neighbors, all in favor of the project. Understanding is that the Swabies also have a letter of support. I would appreciate those as well being entered into the record.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Mr. Fay has just provided me with 4 letters. The first one is from Hello Aloha Company, and it's signed by their chief operating officer. And essentially it states, we have had various meetings with you and the development team of the proposed 199-room Hampton Inn/Home2 Suites by Hilton Hotel project located at 141 South Stone. At various stages of the development process, we have provided input to the development team concerning the design and architecture of the hotel. We believe the development team has been responsive to our suggestions and input, as reflected on May 9th, 2019 of the hotel. We have reviewed the current site plan and elevations, and we support the development of this hotel. Sincerely, Stenson Schaefer, Chief Operating Officer. The second one is from Scottish Rite Hotel. This is dated May 15th, 2019. It says, Mr. Fay, we've had various meetings with you and the development team of the proposed 199-room Hampton 2 Suites by Hilton Hotel. And I'm just going to quickly compare these, and they appear to be the same letter that's provided. So if you'd like, I can continue reading it, but it's the same one I just read.
Okay.
So this one is signed by the Tucson Scottish Rite. The next letter was signed by Jason Heisley, and he is associated with La Frontera Homes. They have 2 pretty substantial properties to the north of the site. One immediately to the north is the Veterans Housing, and then just north of that is another infill incentive district project, which we reviewed. That one is associated with the historic hotel. The name just slipped my mind. But
Western.
Thank you. So that's the West Point. And then the fourth one is from Monique Lane, and she also owns 2 properties in the vicinity, one of them also being an infill incentive district project, the Clifton Hotel. And she recently closed on a property just to the north and west, which was originally a newspaper site and was most recently owned by Cope. That's the white mass at the corner there. And with that, I've read those into the record for your review. Thank you.
Before we go any further, may I ask a question of the design team?
Let's keep it brief so we can.
Okay. do you feel you could address some of the concerns I or we've stated on the north facade if a continuance was pursued? Or do you feel that the current iteration is basically what you are want to have either approved or denied at this time?
I think we'd have to consult with our team to really...
Can you show us the north elevation again?
To me, it's a little bit odd because the shadow over to the north is actually the north facade of the Masonic temple. It is indeed brick, but because I believe at that point it's actually 11 feet width, the distance off a much larger segment of that building would actually be visible theoretically as part of that streetscape that I've never seen the streetscape context of that side of Ochoa.
That would be correct. We don't have those renderings available.
Thank you.
Well, if there are no more comments or questions, is there a motion? And so our options, as we know, as a committee member, is to approve with conditions, deny, or take it to another meeting.
You can continue?
Continue, yes. Which would be in 2 weeks. So
I have one more question.
Sure.
John, when you were saying this doesn't meet the pedestrian criteria established in this area, can you be specific and tell me why that doesn't meet it?
Yes. The entire facade width on the north, which is 171 feet or something like that, is basically a car porte cochere, and all pedestrian traffic is indented right up against the face of the building and redirected for a primarily car-oriented entrance and facade. There are two small doors to the storefronts and the two glass faces that you see, and a emergency exit to the two fire stairwells, and then there is the indent of the thankfully expanded potential TRE parklet or whatever indent face, but then there's two very large car entrance exits that are a large short chunk, and the rest of it is essentially unrelieved facade on a pedestrian face. The south side of the building is entirely a blank face that does have mitigating factors to it because of the trellises in terms of some architectural detail and whatever. I realize it is a very small street, but it is actually another pedestrian conduit. And so the experience of going from Broadway all the way to 18th, this is a largely unrelieved block proposal in a much larger streetscape of experience of basically all street-oriented buildings with public active facades. And so it will be, in my mind at least, a bit of an anomaly in the larger context of the area, and in to some degree has a facing building to the cathedral complex.
You know, it just appears that as this area gets denser, that you're going to be dealing with this on every single site. I mean, they're all going to require parking. Parking's going to have to enter and exit from some location. You know, this particular site, it appears to me, as Mike said, that to put the parking along that eastern side and run it north to south, maybe that could work. It would seem odd to me. And if you did, I would think you would be exiting on both streets. You know, that you would probably exit on both. So I'm not sure there's an absolute solution on all these properties as we become denser. Question for me is this a good design? Is this a good use for the property? Does the downtown need this hotel in this location for the 180 some odd rooms? What's the most important for the community? Are we doing the best thing for the community? And sure, it's not going to be perfect. Nothing we're going to do is going to be perfect. But is, for the community, is this the best, is this what we think is the best use in this location as a hotel to help the downtown sector in its need for additional hotel rooms?
I don't have a problem with a hotel on the site. I don't have a problem with the size, the scale. I don't have a problem with the height. I don't have a problem with the design team. I don't have a problem with the general scope of the architecture and all of the rest of it. But I feel that the IID, because it is an optional overlay zoning that gives trade-off of zoning balances to underlying zoning and new zoning, the whole intent and the reason we are a design review committee and why we have design professionals and why we have the Historic Commission and all the other factors is to make each project better. And I realize that probably some of the facts on the ground based upon this actual project has presented today has moved very far with some unfortunate facts that we may well have to deal with in ultimately approving this project. But I still feel that there are a few more things like a perhaps reformatting or reconsideration of the north facade and perhaps maybe some further refinements to the storefront, actual public street fronts that are on stone, and perhaps some more inclusion of more detailing in the pedestrian, the new proposed pedestrian parklet could be better realized before we finally approve the project based upon the conditions that are before us.
Because do you have a motion?
I would prefer to continue to an additional meeting to see if the design team would be minimal to addressing some of those concerns before our final review.
Is there a second?
Maybe more discussion. Not yet. I mean, I'm not, you know, we've been through this. I don't know what the design team's going to do to change this. When you're concerned, John, about the north elevation, you're concerned about the lower portion underneath that large fascia?
Yeah, it's
Wait, we have a motion on the table.
It didn't get a second.
Okay.
So, motion dies.
Motion dies.
I don't necessarily have a problem with a largely kind of internationalist glass facade that is modern, which is the intention that's been expressed all the way along by the design team through their various presentations. I still don't think that, for instance, if you look at the elevations, that the fenestration lines have any relationship to the building above. So the top four floors and the bottom four floors, specifically and mostly on that particular facade, have no relationship whatsoever. They have different standards of proportion, mass, and symmetry. The other historic buildings on the streetscapes, adjacent streetscapes, and historic or potentially future eligible historic buildings have not been provided for context to show how 33 feet or 15 or not defined 15 feet on that elevation relate to the historic streetscape and perhaps provide some sort of mitigating details either at corners or further architectural ornamentation that might make it more contextually appropriate in this unique historic context. I feel that a little bit more work in that area
could actually help this project fit in and better meet some of the concerns of the context of the site that have been expressed in the past, and that's why I would like to give the team another chance with a continuance to see if it can be fixed. I realize we are an advisory board, and ultimately the decision will rest with the director based upon the various input, but I am not satisfied to approve as presented today, and so that would be my preference to again restate a motion to ask for a continuance to address some of the concerns that have been expressed during this meeting.
Mr. Chair, can I respond?
Excuse me?
Could I respond?
We do not have a motion on the table.
We don't have, there's not a motion at this point.
So you would be able to take response from him since we do not have a motion.
Okay.
You know, one, I appreciate all that. I think one of the things that we've tried to do, and I don't think it shows up well on this rendering, is, and each of those windows actually has a shadow box in it. So it actually has a lot of, it doesn't show up well, but each of those windows has a very unique shadow box to it, and that wraps around the north, the west, and the south windows, right? Or the north and south.
North and west.
All the central windows. So there really are very interesting windows. Those are not what you would see in what I call a normal stucco, where they're just flat, you know, a metal window with stucco that abuts to it. So there is some architectural interest in those. You know, we tried to minimize the glass and really kind of take off what the cathedral had done. They have some glass, but they don't have a lot of it. We try to minimize that around the entrance, one, to make that really an interesting place to be and not just stucco. So we thought the glass in its transparency into the lobby would give you, and again, you can't see, it doesn't come through, but I think if you've been around glass front buildings like this, when you walk down and that, and you're standing at that corner, what you're going to feel like is a place that's alive, because our lobby will be lighted, it will have people in it, you'll have two retail spaces, and I don't think we really didn't forget stone. We put those two, and actually one of those retail places was actually on a show where we moved it to stone to further activate stone as a result of some comments. And my last point would be, you know, for a whole city block to only have two driveway entrances, which my guess is there's at least two today, if not more than that, that exists on that lot today. Again, I might go pull out a picture and count them for you, but I bet there's more than two. And so I think we've actually, for a whole city block, to only have two entrances is maintaining what probably exists today. And on the north lobby entrance, while we think of just cars rolling through there, this is not going to be cars rolling through there. I mean, I think everybody's been at a hotel. When you're there at the lobby entrance, there are people there. And that's what we wanted to achieve on that corner is that's where the people are. You know, there's talk of a restaurant. I don't know what the status of the restaurant across the street is. But again, to open up to what that restaurant is doing with some open tables and stuff, we thought the symmetry between what they're trying to do on that corner and what's happening on this corner really fit with what we thought the community wanted, and we do think that we do have a lot of support for it. There are people that don't support it, certainly, but we think we've got more support than not. And if somebody could tell us exactly what we do to change, I think we would say, well, approve us, tell us what you want us to change, and we'll change it. The last thing is on those fenestrations, the scoring of that ethos on the top is aligned with the scoring of the windows below, so that, again, it's hard to see in a shot that this far back, but on those what appear to be a blank wall, we've tried to put some architectural interest there. I mean, the fact of the matter is that's the side of a guest room, so I can't put a window in. And so there are limits to what we can do to deliver what we think is a a hotel that really does fill a need for the community. You know, we're going to be an employer. We're going to employ people that live in the area. They're going to work here at this hotel, and hopefully they can walk home. And I hope our guests are out in the community, which they will be, because we don't have a restaurant in our, we have breakfast, but we don't have a restaurant. So at night, all of our guests are going to be out in the community. And that's what we're trying to deliver here. And I think we've done, maybe there's one thing that we can change. We'd love to, but I don't know that what a continuance will do for us to be able to further change the design of the building, because there are certain constraints that we are working in. You know, there is a, if you will, there is a box that we're confined to.
Thank you.
John, it's going to be quick because...
Okay. I would like clarification from Mike. The elevations show a different fenestration pattern for that shop. It goes into the massing, whereas on the perspectives, it shows a full massing and a more limited... Certainly. Right here... This goes here, but both here and here and here is shown as full massing. What here is, which is the proposal? The elevations or the perspective?
I'd have to verify it, but I believe the rendering might have an incorrect in the model. It might be as well.
So the elevations are correct for the record rather than the perspective?
No, actually, I'm mistaken. Yeah. The glass will be even here. This is the stair tower. This is the fitness area. The fitness area does end there, but we were planning to put glass there, spandrel glass there, so that this does line up. So actually, the rendering is correct. Yeah.
Okay. And that was actually a change we made as a result of your comment. When we eliminated that fin, that's where the fin came down. And we eliminated that fin. We were supposed to
extend the glass. We had both.
There's a consistency in the elevation.
And is the, on this elevation, is this proposed fenestration pattern, spacing, sizes of windows, as it relates to the upper podium, correct on the elevation?
On the elevation, that is correct right now. Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't necessarily see a relationship between the lines established here and the lines established here.
There's not an exact lineup. And the reason is there are 8 guest rooms behind those windows, and they have a different spacing than the guest rooms above. And so they do line up with the walls between guest rooms. So we were kind of restricted by the guest room width.
Okay.
Committee members, we have John Shahin.
Shaheen
in the audience who would like to make a comment.
Being here with the representing the diocese, I appreciate everybody's concern about what the diocese may want or may not want. And it really isn't what we want, it's what we're trying to do for the downtown area. And we were trying, with our new building, we were trying to respond. Many issues were brought up, and I probably have an answer for each one of them, but I'll try to just take a couple here. One was, we welcome the hotel. We don't want to see this project die. Okay, we debated it among ourselves. And said, yeah, we could have a hotel across the street and would be a good neighbor. So that was one thing. The letter that came from the bishop and everything was not a letter of disapproval. It was a letter where he brought up 4 points, all of which have been brought up here by previous committees. One is the entrance is on stone. Is there a better way? There isn't. But that stop us saying we don't want the hotel to come in? No. It's 2. The pocket park. Thank you. You responded. You centered it. It looked off kilter when it was off to one side. It centers a little bit deeper. We put that raised table. This wasn't our idea about a raised table. This came from the public over the last 10, 15 years. Everybody says, oh, you have to have a plaza in front of the church. We said we'll do our best to accommodate a plaza in the front of the church, which we did. We took down our wall. You notice the whole wall is gone in front of the church. Our porch spills out onto Stone Avenue. So if that can continue, which looks like it was honored, I can see that even with the curved indent, it honors the curvature of the stairway. So I think we're taking the right steps there. Third was partying on the deck there. So I've talked to the hotel owners, and we would come to an understanding if things get too rowdy up there, which I doubt because it's a business hotel. I think we can, work with the solution for that. Because it was our preference when we saw the shape of the hotel being U-shaped, it kind of did honor cathedral by pulling away from it a little bit, so it wasn't the other option would have something right in our face there and looking at a plank wall, so we understand how that configuration is. And I can't remember what the fourth was, parking. Parking. And I think speaking with Bishop, one of the concerns is with parking downtown here. And we're part of the problem ourselves. We know that because we're bringing more people downtown. And we have taken up some parking spaces on Ochoa Street. But with that said, we've been wanting, and I'm just going to put it out here so you can hear it, we've been wanting to do something with our south parking lot and work with partners downtown here, with the developers in Rio Nuevo, see if we can put a parking deck at the Cathedral South parking area. That would make things a lot smoother. So as the letter wasn't of disapproval, it was of approval. I'd like to see the facade have more elements of the historic buildings around, but which building do you pick? Is it supposed to look like the cathedral, which is Moorish, Spanish architecture, or is it supposed to have a colonial look, or is it supposed to have more of a Georgian look, like the, you're never going to hit it on all sides. So it's more important that we see a well-balanced facade, that is something that will stand the test of time in the future. And the last thing is Ochoa Street. We did work on Ochoa Street because we realized we needed to narrow Ochoa Street just so we could, because we couldn't get the entrances that we needed to the historic buildings that we're trying to save, and that was the chapel and made Marist College access a lot more accessible. So when we saw that we were narrowing Ochoa Street, working with the architects, it was suggested that, why can't we take Ochoa Street? Looks like it could be a natural pedestrian walkway. It's called a flex street because we can't close it off completely, but it would head down all the way to Scott, and we saw that as being a viable connection. And I think the rendering here, with all those constraints, I don't know if I would have come up with a better solution. I'd like to think if we could have tried to do something, move one of the entrances to Corral Street, but with the other neighbors, that wasn't their preference, but that was ours. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Back to the committee. Is there a motion?
I move that we accept the proposal as presented.
Is there a second? I'll second the motion. I'm going to take an individual vote, person by person.
Then, if the motion is on the table, I would request that the motion maker adds amendments to the motion.
Under those?
Sound monitoring for adjacent historic buildings needs to be included, or vibration monitoring, sorry. Request that the director perhaps consider further considerations to ensure, with a further parking reduction that we're asked to make, noting it is now 134 spaces, that the director might consider applying certain standards that were offered by the team through the IPP process of making sure that employees and other needed spaces be approved in a parking agreement. That the final iteration does not take away a bike lane in the area in any way, shape, or form on the adjacent parcel. And that a further iteration, which often happens later with staff for some development of the experience in the pocket park, be explored, because it's still kind of a blank wall of metal panels.
Refinement of the pocket park area?
Refinement of the pocket park continues to evolve within the 10% allowable, and that any other changes that might make this building fit better be looked at as staff continues to review it. And I'll put a context there. We know these projects change substantially after they go through engineering and so on and so forth. Staff continues to review them before it moves towards the permitting process. If there is a possibility in these considerations, depending upon what the planning director does, that it can indeed be made a little bit better based upon the conversation of this meeting, that it would move that way.
Okay.
Ask for a roll call vote.
Okay. Proceeding with a roll call vote as requested by Chair Gans. Chair Gans?
No. I feel like the developers have done a great response to concerns in this project, but my concern is about a precedent about concerning pedestrian-oriented development. We have reviewed neither projects in the downtown area and have not had this kind of conflict with vehicles and pedestrians, and I feel like this opens the door for future conflicts.
Mr. Viner?
Aye.
So yay vote, do you have any conditions that you would like to?
Any conditions, you mean?
Or suggestions?
John's suggestions. Mm-hmm. I think the monitoring is probably okay with me.
Okay.
I'm not sure I can remember them all. It's like the three words the doctor gives you. I can't remember all those anyway.
Okay.
If there's other things that can continue to evolve from Seaver Franks in terms of developing the architecture on this building, I'm all in favor of that. I think the pedestrian view as you walk down this building, for me, is very favorable. I mean, I like all the glass and the way it's handled. I think when you have a building that has streets on three sides, you're going to have pedestrian vehicular conflicts. And I'm not sure how you avoid them. You know, the car's got to enter and exit somewhere. So those are the two conditions that I would allow.
Okay. Vice Chair Burr?
I want to preface my vote. I don't want to kill this project at all, but what I was looking for to happen today did not happen, and I wish that a larger body was here for better discussion, and I find that very unfortunate. But under the circumstances of the motion on the table, I too have to vote no.
Okay. So we have two nays and one yes today.
How long is a continuance? When would they have to respond back?
Oh, technically, with a vote on the table, that wouldn't be allowed. you could amend the motion.
No, no. Yeah. If there was a new motion, that motion got defeated, correct? So I'm just saying, if there was a continuance, how long does it set back the developer in terms of moving forward with their project?
I'm sorry, Mr. Viner, that motion did pass. There was two votes, no and one.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was defeated.
It was defeated.
Yeah, so my motion was defeated. It's off the table, correct? So now there is no motion.
That is actually the recommendation of this committee going towards the planning director, is my understanding.
So the recommendation is for denial. There's no discussion of a continuance.
No. Do you want to hear any discussion?
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm a little confused because the vote was to approve. And so the approval was denied. So doesn't that just defeat that motion? Why can't there be another motion after that? I'm confused.
You are correct. I need to restate that. So the motion was to approve, and it was denied.
Correct.
Correct.
So now I move to continue this.
I will second that.
Can we have some discussion now? Ask a question.
Yes.
So, ultimately, whether this gets approved or not, this motion that was just made, the city will take into consideration whatever we say. If we continue it, they can't make a decision until we meet again. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, I don't know how that affects the developer in terms of his timing and moving forward. Continuance.
Typically it's 2 weeks, isn't it?
You can continue up to the next meeting of a quorum.
Okay.
Is there any feedback of when we might get a more balanced committee to look at this? Because I really feel that would be very helpful. I did not have the expertise on the plantings and landscaping, the lighting design, some of the other things that I feel we didn't even comment on, that I feel would be better represented by a larger group. Is there, maybe within 3 weeks, we could potentially get a much broader group to look at any proposed changes so that it may look a lot better to all of us to ultimately approve this project?
Yes, we can absolutely send out a poll and look for a larger quorum if the applicant also is in support of that. Okay. So this body can review a project twice. It can continue once, and then the final meeting or hearing needs to be closed with a decision.
Continuance?
Did you second?
I did.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Great. IID case 1808, Hilton Dual Brand Hotel, has been continued for a date yet to be set.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, one of the things that I think I heard during the motions was, you know, just really wasn't a pedestrian-oriented development. What can we change to accomplish that?
I wish we were legally allowed to tell you how to design a project, but we can't.
I think we've had suggestions, so, I mean, I guess for me, I look at it and I go, I'm not sure how much more pedestrian development gets other than a hotel with hundreds of guests. So I think of that as very pedestrian. So, you know, for us as a design team, you know, again, I think we've taken all of the input that we've been given and tried to make changes. And so I'm kind of at a loss to what could somebody offer us to say to change that gets a yes to a no or a no to a yes.
Maybe there's not anything.
I think that's the design team's prerogative of how to interpret that direction.
Okay.
If I could speak, there has been a continuance, which means you're going to work on something. You don't have an approval yet. I mean, if there was a way to get a single entry on the where the current southern entry is and reconfigure the parking structure in a way that doesn't lose a substantial number of spaces, that would probably be a good start. And I don't know if that's possible, and I do this all the time, and I understand how difficult it is.
Okay.
But if it were me, I would try to do that and come back and say, we've done it, and look how much better this is, or here's why it's completely not possible, and you need to make a decision, yes or no.
Could I add something?
Sure.
Just one thing I wanted to point out that has been in the back of our minds all along with this hotel, and with a large part of this has been conflict between vehicles and pedestrians, and that is we don't have the luxury of an alley. Like most of the downtown core, like the AC Marriott, they can put their porte-cochere and their garage entrance in an alley. We have no alley. So it totally turns us on the dime. And like Bill said, you get to a point where you have vehicles and pedestrians that have to coexist on, and you have three sides, and you have to make it all work. So I don't think there is a perfect world. I mean, and if there's not a perfect world or a perfect solution, I think Greg's question is that still a project that is substantially invested in? It just doesn't seem right. And when the city is pounding on us to design a hotel and get a hotel into this onto the site, it just, I know it's kind of counter and a lot of conflict internally with everybody and how do you do this? But just so you know, there are some serious limitations that there might not be a solution.
I think we get that, and just like the design review you went before in front of Tucson Unitarian County, and this committee for advisory.
True.
That's true. And we don't make the final decisions.
Thank you.
Corky, just one question. Would you prefer an entrance on the Southern Street as opposed to two on Stone?
I think 20 feet is problematic. I think that was true.
So the answer would be no. Is that right?
I can't speak for the folks living on the south side of that property, but I think that might be difficult. The other issue relative to two essentially separate parking structures is that there may be a problem of someone coming northbound, turning into the first driveway, finding no parking available, having to come out and go into the second one. And so there's an inherent problem between, not only because there are two entrances, but there are essentially two garages. And a person, and I think you know this, the person driving up has got to make an ignorant decision about which driveway to take, and not knowing what lurks inside that garage, whether there are spaces or not spaces. And it's and again, I haven't taken tried to figure it out, and maybe it's completely impossible. But I think what you're hearing is, well, there's a motion asking you to take another shot. And
it's good to take it.
Maybe it'll be successful, maybe you won't, I don't know. There's certainly a solution that loses parking, and then it's up to the committee to balance the two issues. Anyway, and I'm sympathetic to trying, cars are not, they're fixed dimensions. There's no room to maneuver. If you miss by a foot, you can't do it at all. I understand that. You can't do a 22 foot to a PAL. He needs to be 24. So I know the demands of the automobile are exacting and difficult and push everything else around. But anyway.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, we do have a study session after
this
that's a pretty important one. Can we just take a five-minute break and let the room
turn
over?
Take a five-minute break.
Okay, so for the record, we are taking a five-minute break at 5:26 p.m.
Sure.
Okay.